Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Vasi Hintelis, your host for Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Our topic today is honoring your uniqueness in life and business as a Renaissance soul. And I'm delighted to have with us today our guest, Jean Marie DiGiovanna of the Renaissance Leader. Good morning, Jean Marie.
Good morning, Vasi.
So great to be with you today. And I'm going to share a little bit about your background for our listeners. Jean Marie DiGiovanna is an international keynote speaker, a corporate trainer, and a certified executive coach who's passionate about helping people think and lead differently. She's a master of experiential learning. She has over 25 years of experience speaking on leadership, communication, and team effectiveness. She's also the Amazon best-selling author of Stop Talking, Start Asking, 27 Questions to Shift the Culture of Your Organization. And the other thing about Jean Marie is she's been a digital nomad, running her business from location independence for the last year and a half. So I'm excited to also talk with her about that piece. So Jean Marie, let's get started by having you talk about, you know, what is a Renaissance leader? What does that mean?
Yeah, so a Renaissance leader, in how I define it, is someone who has a multifaceted level of skill set that are both broad and deep. And they're someone who can start to see connections across ideas, across systems. And so it's this specific kind of leader who I would say is often valued originally as a generalist, but literally they can go into many situations and solve problems easily and effortlessly because they're drawing on from so many different skill sets that they have.
And isn't that something that we just need so much right now, is problem solvers that can draw on different skill sets? And so tell me, is that something that someone is born? Is someone born a Renaissance leader? Do they develop it? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think it's a combination of both. When I do this work around Renaissance leadership, I often get people coming to me saying, oh, my God, this is who I am, because I've always had all these different passions, because typically they have passions not only inside of work but outside of work, and many different kinds of passions. Some are creative. Some are intellectual. And so what really makes, you know, are they born with that? Partly, yes. Typically, they have an insatiable appetite for curiosity and for learning, and they just love and are passionate about a lot of things. So that's partly, I would say, nature. And then the nurture part of the environment is the kind of environment that we're actually working in. And so depending on the kinds of opportunities we have, we get to learn from different people. But I do feel like there's a part of it that is natural, which is that curiosity and really the desire to learn so many different things.
Yeah, curiosity and a desire to learn so many new things. So as someone who yourself, I know you to have different passions inside out and outside of work, how has that influenced your business and your life?
Yes, I feel like one informs the other. And so, and you probably heard of the concept where you know, when you're stuck at work on a problem, the best thing to do is actually to stop, get up, and go somewhere else. Try something else. Do something completely opposite. And so that's actually how I do operate in a lot of ways, and I encourage my clients to as well, is, you know, when we're stuck, usually it's because that the flow isn't there. It's like our creativity is halted in some way. So when we can actually step out of that and dive into a passion that the flow is already there. For me, it's art. It's designing jewelry. It's painting. It's doing something creative or being in nature. And as soon as we step out of that and get into that other environment, what happens is the flow starts. So then when we go back to that problem, we have a whole fresh new way of looking at it.
Absolutely. You're like speaking my language right now. That's such been my experience and what I believe in so much. And yet I also know there's that challenge because we've been, let's say, taught or indoctrinated that we have to stay focused on something to complete it. So, you know, what might you offer to someone who would love to be able to switch gears, step away from something, maybe they're stuck on at work or not making progress, and do a passion, you know, but their mind's like, no, I got to stay focused. What can you offer?
Right. Well, so the biggest thing I can offer is you have permission. You have permission to step away. Like, you get to do that. And I'm really kind of honing in on the permission piece, because it's almost like as adults, we sometimes actually need someone to give us permission to do it, to say, it's okay. It's actually okay when you do that, and actually it's going to help, not hinder. So I could be there saying, okay, you have my permission, but we have to almost instill that within ourselves. And so the biggest piece of advice I can give there is to let yourself, give yourself permission that it's okay. It's okay to do that. It may not be the norm, and it may not feel good in the beginning, but once you give yourself permission to do it, it's amazing the results that you start to see.
What are some of the results that you've seen, either personally or with a client?
So let me think back at some examples here. Well, when I was writing my book, which was intense, I was on a very short time frame, and I felt like there was no room. There was no room for anything but writing that book. And I got to several points in that process where I was blocked. I was definitely blocked. And I, you know, it's like we have to take our own advice, right? And I do remember, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to step away. And I actually started meditating. Now, meditation is something I do almost daily. I wouldn't say I'm a consistent meditator. But I literally just stopped my mind and I allowed myself to breathe. And within even less than 5 minutes, ideas started coming. Oh, look at it this way. Order this before that. Or words would start popping in. I get a lot of my intuition that comes in through words. And I would stop and I realized after I then got out of the meditation, wow, all I have to do is stop and quiet my mind. And it works. So, you know, that was it's almost like, oh, yeah, I've been telling people to do that. But when it really works, it's like, oh, yeah, it works when we give ourselves permission to do that.
I love that example, Jean Marie. The combination of giving ourselves permission and then doing something that seems almost counterintuitive, but it really opens the flow. And so, you know, we just have to remind ourselves, you know, to do that, because often when we're in those times, we're just kind of heads down. So what a great example. Thank you for that. How about we talk a little bit about your book then, since you mentioned writing it? You know, what is your book about? And maybe share a little bit more about that.
Oh, sure. So one of the things, you know, I've been in business for 2 decades, and I started to feel like, you know, over time I was like, God, you know, for all the clients I work with, I started noticing the same kinds of questions I would give them that made a huge difference. And I thought, well, what if I packaged those up into a book and made it available to a lot more people? And so that's when the idea of Stop Talking, Start Asking came into play. And, you know, I could tell you many stories about the fact that I often respond with questions. I literally think in terms of questions. So I'm a little bit obsessed about questions in general. But what happened was I started thinking about that, and I was like, okay, I'm going to write this book. And like most things, you go in with one idea, and as you start diving in, it transforms into something else. So what happened was I just started writing these questions. What were the key questions that really made a difference? And then I started noticing, oh, these questions each have a topic associated with them that they fit into. And that's what ended up coming out with. Each chapter is a specific, like a culture of accountability. How do you foster a culture of unstoppability? A culture of curiosity, a culture of play. And that's how I came up with the chapters. And then I also, since I was in, you know, a pretty tight time frame, I wanted it to be a resource, not a book. And so it's actually a resource where each chapter is standalone, and you literally can just go right to that chapter, and you want to learn, so for example, the culture of collaboration, how can I collaborate more inside of my culture? It shares stories, it shares processes and tools, and at the end of each chapter are a set of questions that you can ask yourself or your team, and it's called Now It's Your Turn. And then at the end of every chapter is a fun cutout quote, because I needed it to be creative. It's like I can't, mm-hmm. you know, it needed to be fun to use. And so mm-hmm. that's how people are, you think of one thing and then it sort of turned into something else. So most people that read it tell me, oh, I keep this next to me in my office, and I reference it a lot. So it's more like a resource.
Sounds like a wonderful resource. The word that, or the phrase that came to me as you were describing it was like a field guide, you know, like that you would actually use, like people have in nature, right,
yeah.
when they go out.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
Resource.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because... Oh, and the other thing I was just going to mention is the reality is that when we're stuck, oh, I can say this, when I'm stuck, the most powerful tool that has me get out of it is I ask myself a question. And then suddenly there's movement because I'm thinking differently about it. And so the book is all about what are the powerful questions you can ask.
It sounds so helpful, especially now, because we're in a lot of unknown times and uncertain times. And so those questions really help open our mind. If we come from a place of I know or I think I know, it keeps things on the same track. So how are you finding your clients, like, how are they using this? I understand it's by their desk, but is there a specific example that you can share? Where they've
yeah,
used these
so
questions?
Sure, absolutely. And so one client is actually using it with her team to take a chapter a month and go through it and have, you know, the team reads the chapter, they go through it, and they practice that particular skill that month and they hone in on it. And so it's a nice chunk of a piece of thing that they can focus on so it doesn't feel overwhelming, and they can dive in for that month and really explore and master it.
And I'm hearing they're learning and growing together too, so even that is a collaborative experience as they use your book.
Yes, absolutely. And I loved what you said earlier about, you know, sometimes when we know too much, it's like it helps hold each other accountable, because we can fall into what I call the expert syndrome, where as soon as we know something, we know a lot about something, we suddenly actually stop asking.
Yeah, exactly, because we're making assumptions. And so then we go down a road, which doesn't lead anywhere new because it's based on assumptions of the past.
Exactly.
Know that one. Well, one of the things that, you know, we're focusing on today is about honoring your uniqueness in life and business. And I'm really hearing that from your different passions and your way of asking questions. You've really honored your uniqueness. For someone that's in a corporate environment, you know, what might be some tips about how they can bring more of who they are to what they do?
So a couple of things. One is, in order to do that, we have to kind of do a bit of introspection to know what does make me unique. What are my gifts and talents? And so the first step, I would say, is take some time to uncover those. You know, what are the things that come naturally to you that are, they're so easy for you? Often those are the things that don't come naturally to others, but we think everyone else has them. Everyone has that skill, don't they? And that's not true. So the first step is to start distinguishing. And the fastest way to do that, that I give my clients, is start asking people that you know well, that know you well from different arenas, and ask three questions. One is, what do you most admire in me? What are my gifts and talents? And what's the difference that I make? Just those three questions. No, you know, what do I need to improve on? We tend to always want to know. Just those three questions. And from those, so much can be gleaned. And then the next question is, okay, how can I bring more of that into my work? How can I honor more of those gifts and talents and bring that into the work that I do?
Those are such wonderful questions. And I'm going to just recap, just in case someone wanted to take notes on that. So you ask people, what do you most admire about me?
Yeah.
What are my gifts and talents? And then what's the difference I make? So those are the three questions.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Exactly.
And then you ask yourself, how can I bring that, more of that, into what I do?
And there's a step that I would say is sometimes unconscious, which is, do I even recognize that I have those gifts and talents? Am I owning them? Am I really owning them? Because I mean, I can tell you honestly, even, you know, of all the times I've had my business for over 20 years, and there are gifts and talents I've just, in the last few years, have finally decided to own. So it can take a while, you know, and so sometimes it's important to spend the time to say, you know what, that is something I own. Sometimes it comes so naturally, we think, oh, my God, I'm getting paid for this. This doesn't seem right. But that's the beauty. Like, if we're actually paid for our gifts and talents, how fulfilling that is. Incredibly
that's
fulfilling.
Such a key point. I love that you brought that up, Jean Marie. Yeah, because there's this assumption oftentimes that we have to struggle, we have to work hard, and so things that come naturally, we just kind of, like, disregard them, or we, you know, don't own them. So I love what you said about really owning what you're, what comes naturally, but also being open to that discovery, like continuing to discover yourself.
Yes, I want to share just quickly, is Leonardo, of course, the Renaissance, I'm very passionate about that period of time, and I studied Leonardo da Vinci. He would say, one of the reasons he hardly finished paintings, and the people who contracted him were so frustrated. They wouldn't get paintings for a year, for 2 years. Sometimes they'd never get the painting. And he would say the reason is because there was always more to learn. And so every time he'd try to finish one, he found new things to learn. And, you know, obviously that doesn't work in the corporate world. Like, we do have to finish projects. But it's the concept of, like, always being in the learning mode.
Yes. Lifelong learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
That whole idea. Yeah. So speaking of being open and learning and growing, you decided to become a digital nomad about a year and a half ago. So tell us a little bit about what inspired your journey to do that and what your experience has been.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I went over to Southeast Asia, and it was a combination of, it was with a nonprofit called Together We Can Change the World that a very good friend of mine runs, and he brings speakers over there twice a year, and I went to speak to organizations there in the Philippines, and then I was in Cambodia, and it's a combination of volunteer work. And when I, at the side, we work with women and children, and when I was in Cambodia, it really just, it was such a special place. It made a huge impact on my life, and I came back, and I looked at my, you know, two-bedroom townhouse, and I thought, I have so much space. I have so many things. Do I really need all this? Do I really need to pay all this much? Do I need all this around me? And I literally had this revelation that it's time to downsize. I wanted to live simpler. I wanted to travel more. I didn't want to be tied to my home. And I also wanted to, I literally had some debt I was carrying, and I thought, you know what? It's time for me to just clean house. So I literally moved out. I focused on, I paid down my debt, and I decided to become a digital nomad. And I've seen more people, more friends, more colleagues in the last year, and well, before COVID, than I had in a decade. So it's amazing the freedom it's given me. And I get to choose to, you know, live near my clients perhaps, or live in a place I really have wanted to go. So that's what prompted me.
It's so fascinating because it's a leap. I call it a leap of faith to do something like that, right? And so there's this sense of when we're an entrepreneur that we have more freedom. You know, it's the idea, oh, I have more freedom because I can do X, Y, Z. And yet you took this to a whole other level. Right? And so I love that you use that word freedom, excuse me, and also choice, you know, because that was a very intentional choice you made. So I'm curious to know how that works with your business. Did you have to make any changes when you became a digital nomad as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, great question. Absolutely not. In fact, most of my clients don't know that I, you know, that I picked up. I mean, some do. To me, it's not as important that they have to know because I fly, before COVID, I fly everywhere to my clients. So even when I picked up and moved from Boston, where I had my business for 15 years, to Colorado, for example, I still kept all my East Coast clients, and I just flew back. So I didn't really change anything. I learned, oh my God, I learned so much about what is home. What really is home? What's safety? What's security? What, you know, it was almost like my own self and development course, you know, it's like my own Eat, Pray, Love book that I was reading, and I'm continuing to. So, you know, because of COVID, I'm now staying in the same place. This is probably the longest I've stayed, but it's all good. It's all good.
And maybe that might be your next book, your journey to be a digital nomad. Yeah, because those questions that you're asking are so powerful. What is home? What is safety? And you're really challenging, you know, how we might think about that. Mm. So I just found those to be very powerful questions. I just wanted to call that out. So, and so if people would like to connect with you, Jean Marie, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Oh, sure. There's two ways. One is absolutely you can go to my speaker site at jeanmariespeaks.com. But also, if you'd like my book and you'd like a lot more resources around the book, in addition to something I'm launching this month called the Leadership Lab, which kind of takes you, like that example of the woman working with her team, it takes you through that whole process, but I'll be facilitating the month-to-month process, you can just go to stoptalkingstartasking.com.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And if our listeners didn't get a chance to catch all that, no worries, because it will be in the show notes, those links. And what else, Jean Marie, would you say is about important to be able to bring all of who you are to what you do? Is there anything that you haven't mentioned yet that would be important to share with our listeners? How they can bring more?
Mm-hmm. There's one thing that I've kind of hit on, but I haven't distinguished it, which is your core values. And you actually picked up on several of these as I was sharing, which is freedom, creativity, curiosity. You probably, from this interview, have probably gathered mm-hmm. that those are really important values of mine. And one of the things I'll say is, to me, the secret of happiness, of fulfillment, is when we can distinguish our top core values and honor those in our life, we're going to be most fulfilled. Like, it seems so simple. It's not always easy, but it can be that simple. And you can bring that into everything that you do, like even in your work. How can I bring more curiosity into my work? How can I have my work feel more free, give me more freedom? And so that's the last thing I just wanted to mention, is knowing what your values are and honoring those is so important to really having a fulfilling life.
Yes, definitely. And I like what you said about the happiness and the fulfillment. You know, those, that's really what our values help us to achieve, because it's not what's important to someone else. It's what's important to us, and really being very aware of what that is. And let me ask you this. So if someone has, perhaps they've done their business values or they're familiar with their corporate values, but they haven't taken the time to explore their own values, their own personal values, what tip might you give them to start that process or to go to take it to a deeper level?
Yeah, it's great. There are a couple of questions that are pretty easy to answer that can help distinguish your values. One of them is, when you think about things that you absolutely love to do, like what's one thing you love to do? And you think about that thing, and then the question really is, what is it about that you love? What value are you honoring when you're doing that? So, for example, if you love riding your bike, you know, there might be that value of like freedom or being in nature. There's something underneath that. That's what you want to pull. What's the quality of that that's important? The other question is, what really ticks you off? What makes you frustrated and angry? And when you can distinguish that, and then literally say, what's the value that was being stepped on when I got frustrated? That's another way to distinguish values. So we can have values that we're honoring because it gives us fulfillment. We're also stepping on values when someone frustrates us for some reason or we get frustrated about something. So those are two ways to help distinguish values pretty quickly.
Oh, that's brilliant. I like that those two questions you offered us tap into passion, both what irritates us, you know, what kind of squelches our passion, as well as what we have passion around. Yeah, very helpful. So I'm sure in your time you've had lots of tools that you use to help your clients bring more of who they are to what they do and honor their uniqueness. Is there any tool right now that you would like to share with us that people can take away with them and use on their own?
Well, of course, I'm going to answer. Powerful
questions
is the biggest tool, I would say. But I want to make a distinction, because it's not just any old question. What makes the question powerful is it typically starts with a how or a what. See, I wouldn't say this is a tool, but this is more something to avoid, is we often hone in on the why questions. Why is this not happening to me? Why am I doing it this way? why are they not calling me back? And so one of the biggest tools I can give people or lead people with is look at shifting your why questions to a what or how. Because why questions keep us in our head analyzing. What or how questions open up the dialogue and force us to go somewhere else in our mind. And they're more powerful. So if we can just make that one slight move, you'll notice things shifting.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah, shifting from why questions to how or what. Wonderful. Thank you. That is such a good tool for us to take away. And is there anything, an inspiration or anything you want to leave us with as we wrap up right now?
Sure. There's one thing that I've been thinking about in the last few minutes, which is something I was told several years ago, which is you're not meant to fit in. And I will say that as soon as I heard that, I realized, oh, all this time I've been trying to fit in, I realized I'm not meant to. And a huge weight came off my shoulders. So I'll just share that as something that impacted me in my life so much. And perhaps it might, by hearing that, impact someone else.
Oh, that's perfect. What a wonderful way to close the show. Thank you so much, Jean Marie, for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's our show for today. And a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the United States and internationally. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio Show, Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. This is Vasi Hantalis, your host of Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Remember to stay true to you and your dream by asking yourself this important question: what's the next bold step I can take to move my vision forward? Be the bold leader you were born to be, and go for it.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.